Welcome to another exciting edition of KC Soccer Coma on KC 107.7. You're listening to Connor Robertson. Today we will be speaking to Skalk Greef from Innewaldy. We will be speaking to him regarding everything you need to know about the upcoming end of the 2024/25 tax year and how to prepare for it. But for now, we're going to take a break and listen to some music, and we'll see you shortly.
KC 107.7.
And welcome back. We're once again speaking to Skalk Greef. Thank you once again for joining us, and how are you doing today?
Thanks, Connor. I appreciate being here again. Looking forward to this new year.
Yeah.
I'm good and well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been actually quite a jam-packed year so far. I mean, it's been pretty crazy, but I mean, usually this time of the year, things start getting a bit crazy for us.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. It's now tax season.
Yeah. And that's actually why we brought you here, because I feel like tax season is approaching. It's going to approach in June, July for the private guys, but it's approaching very soon for the business guys. So I wanted to speak to you as we approach the end of the 2024-2025 financial year. Why is this time of the year so important for both employees and business owners when it comes to taxes?
Connie, you win with taxes by using time. Once the year end has passed, the opportunity to manage taxes becomes very little. So we have a few days left for tax planning. And furthermore, the end of the financial year is critical because it sets the stage for accurate tax reporting and compliance for the year, like you said, in June, July onwards. For employees, it's the last chance to use tax brackets such as donations and retirement funding. And for business owners, it's a time to finalize those expenses, manage deductions, and strategically plan capital expenditures. And preparing now avoids penalties, ensuring maximum allowable deductions, and just support long-term financial planning.
Absolutely, because once the end of February hits, there's nothing more we can do.
Exactly.
So let's look at and maybe give our listeners an overview of what individuals and businesses should be doing now in preparation for their income tax returns.
So for individuals, there's not much to do now, as most tax certificates, such as RP5s, medical aid certificates, retirement fund contribution statements are only issued after May. However, it's imperative to ensure you have records for the donations that you made during the year, a logbook, home office expenses, and any other relevant information. And businesses need to ensure that financial statement information reconciles with VAT and payroll submissions and confirm that all invoices and receipts are accounted for. Both groups should also consider reviewing the tax strategies to minimize or rather maximize deductions.
Yeah, I feel like in January is the perfect opportunity to sit down with your accountant, bookkeeper, whoever is advising you on your taxes, and sit down and keep account of what's actually happening.
Yes.
Because you don't want to be left in May for the business guys and then in June, July with your pants on the ground with nothing to do.
Exactly.
So let's touch on for employees. What are some of the most common mistakes they make towards the end of the year, and how can they avoid them?
So common mistakes include just not claiming allowable deductions, travel, home office expenses, and failing to keep records for medical deductions. Employees with side businesses or additional income should ensure they qualify for provisional tax and avoid underestimating tax liabilities. And those trading and investing in cryptocurrencies must maintain accurate records of buying and selling transactions. Profits from crypto may be of income of nature, especially for traders and those involved in arbitrage, potentially triggering provisional tax registration. So the listeners might wonder whether they qualify as provisional taxpayers. Generally, if you receive additional income as not reflected on an IRP5 exceeding 30,000 Rand per year for the tax year, you may be a provisional taxpayer. You can verify this through your SARS statement of account on e-filing for your 2024 tax return. However, note that SARS doesn't have the accounts for your 2025 yet, so it's very important and essential that you reevaluate your situation, and my advice would be to consult with your tax practitioner.
Absolutely, because the last thing you want to do is you want to submit your returns, and then you see at the bottom of your returns that there's a penalty that's been given to you because SARS believes that you should have been a provisional taxpayer.
And that penalty is severe. It's 20% underestimation penalty on the taxes that you would have or should have paid in February already. So it is quite severe.
Absolutely. So the main idea that we want to give you guys today is that you should be doing your admin, because I feel like especially with, you know, your estate agents, your car salesmen, the things that they rarely do is they do their admin with it. You know, their vehicle expenses, their petrol and so on, and their logbooks. Those are the things that actually save you a hell of a lot of tax.
Exactly. Commission earners, specifically commission earners, yeah.
Absolutely. So many employees often miss out on deductions that they could benefit, that could benefit them. Could you highlight some of the key deductions or allowances that employees might be overlooking?
So Section 23M of the income tax limits deduction for employees. So if you're only receiving a salary on a IP5, there is limitations. But allowable deductions include Section 18A donations, medical deductions, retirement funding, and home office expenses. Employees often overlook medical expenses not covered by the medical aid, travel expenses for work purposes if you receive the travel allowance or you use the company car or got a company car allowance, and home office expenses deductions. Now, it's important to understand the strict criteria for these deductions, which we will address shortly.
Cool. So with more people working from home these days, are there any tax breaks or deductions that employees working remotely can claim from their homes?
Yes, employees can claim home office deductions if they meet specific criteria. The home office must be a dedicated space used exclusively for work. So it's not a kitchen counter. It's not a table in the spare bedroom. It must be a dedicated space used exclusively for work. That's very important. And a significant portion of duties must be performed there in that office per the agreement with the employer. Now, deductible expenses include a portion of your rent, electricity, levies, rates and taxes calculated based on the office space as a percentage of the total home area. However, internet, telephone, those are excluded. There is a guide that SARS made available on their website that provides a lot of information with regards to home office expenses and what you can claim and what you can't in the calculations, etc.
Absolutely. And I think that's so important that people understand, because I mean, yes, obviously we understand what people can and can't claim, but you know, the listener out there who's listening doesn't understand these basics. I mean, I have many sole traders that come to me every year and they're going, what can we claim? I'm like, you can actually claim quite a bit. You just need the admin or you need the documentation to prove it.
Exactly. And remember, in practice, when you get a income tax audit, what will SARS request? They will request floor plans. They'll request 360 degree photos of your home office. They'll request all the supporting documents that went into your calculation. So the admin is very important.
Yeah, and I think that's something that people need to really buckle down this year, because SARS is getting stricter and stricter. I mean, last year alone, I think I did so many verifications. And it's not that there was anything different that we submitted. We submitted the same thing. SARS just wants more information.
Oh, and the reality is, if you have any of the deductions that triggers a risk for SARS, like home office, logbook, or you get other incomes, cryptos, etc., the chances of you getting an audit is pretty much 100%.
Absolutely. But for now, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music, and then we'll be back.
This is Casey 107.7.
And we're back. We're once again speaking to Skolkhria from Innovaldi. So I wanted to touch on, what is the role do retirement annuities or retirement savings, such as pensions and provident funds, play in reducing an employee's taxable income? And is there still time for employees to maximize these contributions towards year end?
Yeah, so contributions to approved retirement funds are deductible up to 27.5% of your taxable income. So it's a quite significant portion that you can put into a retirement fund. But the value is capped at 350,000 Rand a year. By increasing the contributions before the year end, employees can reduce their taxable income while they secure their financial future. This creates an absolute win-win strategy for tax efficiency and long-term savings. And my advice would be, consult with your financial advisor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had an interview with Keegan last year about the two-pot system, and when you put that money into your retirement annuity, there's portions where you can, there's a portion where you can use, and there's obviously a portion that must be put away. Mm. But once again, as we always say, speak to a professional when it comes to your retirement annuity.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's look at for business owners. This is the perfect time to assess the financial situation. What are some key actions business owners should be taking now to ensure their tax returns are favorable?
Business owners should conduct a year-end financial review, specifically making sure that all expenses and income are correctly recorded, and then to take advantage of allowable tax deductions, stuff like reviewing your depreciation schedules and ensuring compliance with VAT and pay as you earn, and then obviously provisional tax, or specifically the deadlines are crucial at this stage.
Yeah, because I mean, we had a conversation in August about your provisional tax returns, and it's so important now just to get your ducks under in one row, and honestly, submit early. In my advice would be, once you've done all you can, submit early. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said in the beginning, we have to use time. Once the clock ticks over from 28 Feb till the 1st of March, there's not much that you can do from a tax perspective. So it's critical that you have this opportunity now, and just manage this month specifically with regards to deductions. And then, because once you get to your financial statements and the income tax filing, there's not really anything that you can do at that point in time.
Yeah, because honestly, I mean, this time of the year, I hear the craziest tax solutions out there. I've heard a client tell me that they're interested in buying a boat and using the purchase of the boat to minimize his income tax. And I've heard these crazy ideas that are obviously spoken at a barbecue or a braai. But let's be realistic here. There's honestly not that much you can do this time of the year, besides obviously your donations that you can do. Yes, you can buy stock, but let's be honest with people who are looking to buy a large amount of stocks. What's the positives and the negatives when it comes to that?
So when it comes to capital assets, like you just mentioned with the boat, I mean, it's all about the timing of buying those assets before financial year end. There is certain sections in the income tax, section 11E, section 12C, section 13, that addresses all these capital allowances. Now, if you buy a delivery vehicle today, and it's a month before financial year end, and the delivery vehicle you can only write off over 4 years, you're going to get a 2% saving this year.
Except
if you're buying section 11E, also make provision for when you buy assets that's less than 7,000 Rand. So yeah, now it's maybe a good time if the computer is old, and you can, well, the laptops or the desktops, getting those things under 7,000 these days is a bit difficult, but stuff like buying desktops, telephone systems, those kind of things that's less than 7,000 Rand, that you can still get 100% deduction. So get rid of all the stuff that's not working in the business, the assets, and buy the new ones. Then you can still get a tax benefit this year by buying capital assets. The rules are obviously different for Section 12C assets, and I think we'll speak shortly about that.
Awesome. So I wanted to touch on, how can business owners take advantage of tax deductions relating to their business expenses or capital purchases, like we mentioned? And is there strategies for making these purchases before the end of the year?
So, yeah, like I said, if you buy a delivery vehicle because your business needs it, you'll get only a small portion that you can deduct this year. If you buy a laptop or any asset where the cost value is less than 7,000 Rand, yes, then you can still get the deduction. So I normally tell my clients, if there's any assets that's old and you have a tax liability, get rid of the old assets and buy the new ones. And if it's less than 7,000 Rand, even so, the better. But specifically for manufacturing companies, they have these different rules. So Section 12C of the Income Tax Act, if say a manufacturing concern, engineering a business here in Paul buys a lathe, he can get a 40% deduction still in this tax year. So from that perspective, there can be quite significant savings this year in your tax liability for manufacturing industries.
Yeah. So, you know, what I always suggest is the client looks at their maintenance schedules, because that's I feel like your maintenance schedules is your superpower as a business, because that's going to tell me whether something needs to be replaced now, right now, or if I can hold it another year. And I always feel that if you can replace it now and you've obviously got the profit or you've got the capital to do so, I believe you should do so. But once again, you don't want to make these decisions just so that you don't have to pay SARS, because you don't want to put yourself or your cash flow in the red just so you can pay SARS a little bit less.
Absolutely, Connor. It's a mindset that you quite often see where taxpayers will spend 1 rand to save 27 cents.
Absolutely.
And from that perspective, when it comes to business, business first and tax second. Tax will always, it's a reality, we'll always pay tax. Yes, we should minimize it, but rather spend 1 rand that's going to add value to your business. Yes, and in the process, you get the benefit of 27 cents.
You know what's funny, like this is a bit off topic, but I always have clients that are looking to minimize their VAT, and I always say, you know what, VAT belongs to the state. You're going to pay VAT any way you look at it. The best way to do it is take how much ever sales you make, calculate it, put it in a savings account in preparation for that expense, and then you know what, when you get your little bit, you know, your portion of your VAT, when you get that back, you'll realize how good VAT is actually for your business. But you've got to come in with the mindset of that belongs to the state anyway. And I think that's the issue that we have.
Oh, absolutely. Specifically the farmers, I've seen it so many times before, is they have to pay VAT, and it's, I don't want to pay VAT, let's quickly buy a bucky. So now you spend 250,000 rand, and it's probably on a HP, so you're going to spend another 100,000 rand on interest just to save the 15% VAT, not to pay VAT in that month. Sometimes ridiculous.
So let's look at what are capital allowances and how can business owners ensure they're making the most of them when preparing for the financial year.
Yeah, so capital allowances, like you said, buying a delivery vehicle, computers, computer screens. I mean, those kind of things. I've seen so many clients walk into their shops, they've got old computer equipment, and the time they waste with this old equipment, they could have just as well bought a new one. A computer screen is 2,500 rand. If you buy that computer screen, it's a once-off deduction in the first year, even though you're going to use it probably for the next 2 to 3 years or 4 years, even longer. So use those kind of capital allowances as available to improve your business. It's about the improvement of business. Yes, the tax is will always follow, and you'll get the benefit of it. If you have to make some larger acquisitions, yet again, I'm going to use the delivery vehicle as an example. The delivery vehicle should be a strategic move in your business, and you're going to get your tax benefit over 4 years. So buying one now is not really going to make a difference in your tax calculations. Yes, if you're a manufacturing concern, you made profit this year, you want to expand your operations, you need to now buy another lathe or a milling machine, yes, you can get a very, very good tax deduction, 40% for that matter, in this year. So to just alleviate some of that tax liabilities from the profits you made.
I mean, I've spoken to so many clients, and I mean, the small things like buying a computer screen, like a second screen, not only is it affordable, but it also improves productivity. So like you said, I just want to second what you're saying, is it's so important to think about your production or your systems within the business before you think about simple things like tax. But this is all we have time for this week, so we're going to definitely have a part two. I once again want to thank you for your time, and we'll see you next time. And we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.
#KCSoccerLeague, only on KC 107.7.